Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultralife. This week, I am going to introduce you to a young man I met at 6 Days in the Dome who crushed a sub-2400 miler. And I just loved his story. Spent a couple laps with him and just loved his story. And I said, man, I got to get this guy on the podcast. So here we go, Mr. Andrew Bloom. Andrew, you ready to go for a run?
Yeah, let's do it.
You sure your feet are all recovered, ready to run?
I got my first semblance of actual running in on my hike today. So yeah, I think.
There you go. Awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, Andrew, where you live, what you do for a living when you're not crushing 100 milers and that kind of good stuff.
I live in Pekin, Illinois. It's about halfway between Chicago and St. Louis. Married with 2 kids, 9-year-old son and 14-year-old daughter. I am a industrial electrician by trade, a union electrician. I work at a Caterpillar plant.
Oh, cool. Is that one of the ones that's staying open?
Yeah, I'm in a research and development facility, so they've got a little bit too much money invested in that one to do anything.
That's good, man. I keep reading about all these plants in the Midwest that are closing down. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah, they're all going to move out of here eventually.
Yep, eventually. So how long have you been an industrial electrician then?
I've been where I currently am for about 4 years. Before that, I had 5 years as a residential electrician.
Wow. I'm in the lighting business. So, you know, I work with electricians all the time. That's quite a switch from resi to industrial, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's much better than residential.
Oh, yeah. Residential. Here, let's run some Romex from here to here.
Yeah.
never fun crawling around and, you know, crawl spaces and attics that nobody wants to crawl into. Yeah.
No. And big honking light fixtures that people get for their houses. And,
And then they want you to hang it.
Most of the time in industrial, you're just hanging a shop light.
Exactly. A little bit easier than those huge chandeliers, right?
Yeah, very much so.
Always fun. Cool. So 14-year-old, 9-year-old, I'm sure they keep you busy.
Yes, they do.
All right.
My 14-year-old's going into high school, and my 9-year-old's getting ready to start a new school as well.
Wow. Cool. Are they into athletics at all?
Unfortunately, no.
Okay.
My son can run. He just doesn't want to.
There you go. That's funny. And your wife loves watching you run, right?
Some days. Depends on the venue.
Yeah. I remember talking to you at 6 Days and you know, I felt your pain. I wish we would have told your wife earlier that she could have watched from up in the sleeping room where it was nice and warm.
Yeah. She wasn't real happy with me for that one.
Well, hopefully she'll forgive you for that and let you come run another one. There you go.
I'm sure she will.
There you go. So tell us a little bit about your running journey. How did the whole running thing start, or have you always been a runner?
I've been running for 24 years, probably.
Okay.
Started in high school and ran track and cross country and then kind of flamed out. Running college and just kind of been an off and on runner for a little over 2 decades now. Attempted my first ultra when I was like, I want to say 20.
Oh, really? Wow. What was that?
The Potawatomi. Well, at the time it was the McNaughton Park Trail Runs 100 mile.
Okay.
It's undergone a few different names now, but it's still the same course as it's been for like 25 years.
Wow. Wow. And did you try that? That 100 was your first attempt at an ultra?
Yes.
You're insane.
I skipped right over the marathon and everything. And so it's my hometown race. And the race director was my high school swim coach / youth swim coach. And he created the race and he got one of my buddies who wasn't a runner to do it. And he had me come out and pace him. And I paced him through the night. And it was just the most awesome experience. And I was hooked ever since. I wanted to run 100 miles. Whether I made it or not, I wanted to try.
That's awesome. So how did you do on your first try?
70 miles.
70, okay. And then
And
timed out or what?
no, it was probably about 72 because I got past the aid station and it was bitter cold because the race
Okay.
is in like beginning of April.
Right, in
And
Illinois,
I
that's not warm. So.
no. And I laid down on a picnic table saying I needed to take a nap and left my headlamp on and everything. And somebody kind of came by and nudged me. And I got up and I couldn't talk
Oh
and didn't
no.
know where I was. And one stumbled my way back to that aid station I had just left, and they had to get me out of there.
Wow. Well, that's okay. 72 miles on your first attempt from, half marathon to, 100 miles. That's awesome.
I was just a kid going at it because I didn't know any better.
That's right. You probably, shoved some stuff in your pockets for food and had a water bottle dangling off your wrist or something, didn't
If that.
you? There you go. That is so awesome. I'm surprised you had a headlamp, man. Kudos for that.
I got
That's
lucky with
awesome.
that.
There you go. So now I'm going to let you say what it's morphed into because I'm going to butcher Potawatomi. Am I even close?
Yes, that's
Did I get
actually
it right?
100% correct. Yes.
Oh my gosh. All right. So
So
how many times have you run McNaughton Potawatomi?
I have attempted it. I believe 13 or 14 times.
Wow.
I have finished the 50 miler once. I have finished the 100 miler 3 times. The shortest I have gone was 10 miles the week that my dad died.
Oh.
The longest I have gone is then not finished is 90 miles when I hit the time limit.
Oh my gosh, that had to have been crushing.
It was because the time limit at that race is like 36 hours,
Wow.
which is extremely manageable.
Yeah, but I mean the Potawatomi is not an easy trail, right?
That I will say yes because that is what everybody would say. That
Right.
to me, it's as easy as going out for a road run.
Okay, because you're
I've been running
familiar
it
with
for
the
so
trail,
yeah,
right?
I've been running it. So this year I got to like mile 40 or let's see, it would have been like mile 73 and middle of the night and my headlamp goes out.
Oh no.
And I'm with a buddy and he's behind me and he's doing the 150 mile and he had a waist light on. Well, his waist light was kind of finicky, and if he bumped it wrong or anything, it would go out. Well, if I went behind him, I couldn't see my feet, and
Right.
if I went in front of him, I couldn't see my feet. So I went from 73 until the 75 mile aid station in the middle of the night with no headlamp,
Oh my gosh.
and there was no moonlight or anything. I looked down at the trail and focused my eyes and just moved as fast as I could.
Wow. Wow. So then did you pick up a light at the aid
Yeah.
station or what? Okay.
Yeah. Luckily, one of the guys at the halfway aid station gave me a headlamp to use to get back to the start finish line.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Wow. And so you finished that this year, what, somewhere around, if I remember, 30-ish, right?
32 hours, even.
Okay.
32:08, actually.
Awesome. And so the cool thing about Potawatomi is you've actually won this race, haven't you?
Yes, I won it in 2018.
That is so cool. So tell us a little bit about that. I mean, because that had to have been a thrill.
That was the probably the high one of the highlights of my life. It was everything just came together that day. I had a great day, and I was able to even walk the last 20 miles and finish in under 20 hours, which on that course is very hard to do.
That's amazing.
I had to do the last 6 miles of that course with no watch because my watch had died. So that was fun to how could knowing you're borderline 20 hours and now have no idea what the timing is.
Exactly. So were you like frantically asking anybody you could find,
Well,
what the time was, or?
so the hard thing out there in the middle of the night, it's a 10 mile loop and the people are scarce. So I didn't actually end up seeing another person until the final mile.
Oh my gosh, you're kidding me.
No, I went the whole way and I didn't see another person to ask. Finally, I came up behind a woman and I was like, "Do you have a watch? Do you have the time? What time is it?" And she's
Oh,
like, "Yeah."
that's
And she told me,
crazy.
and I'm just like, "Oh, I have enough time." And I'm not gonna lie, I cried a little bit in that last mile.
Yeah,
So,
I can imagine.
but
Wow.
yeah, that's that race is my, it will always be my favorite.
That's amazing. So, you ever going to try the 150 or 200 miler?
I'm kicking around the idea of trying the 200. I've always said I wouldn't, and I wouldn't, and I wouldn't, but my buddy did the 150 this year, and we finished together, and it made me realize, hey, maybe going on past 100 miles is possible.
There you go. Now, how many hundreds have you officially finished now?
Five, three at Pottawatomie, and the two at the Dome.
That's awesome. And this
But
year,
I
you actually
also,
improved your dome
yes,
performance again,
by
right?
one lap.
That's awesome. One
I
lap
knew how many
will do
laps
it.
I needed, and I went one lap farther.
There you go. I love that. I love that. And you were done. I
Yes.
remember doing a couple laps toward the end with you. I think, in
Yeah,
fact,
and I
did I
was.
do like your 100 mile lap with you?
Yes, you did.
That's right.
I think
I
you did my
remember
100
that.
mile, and I think you did my last lap with me too.
I may have done that last lap with you again. Yeah. 'Cause yeah, you were at my pace at that point.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I was taking anybody that would move with me.
I mean, you moved great 'cause you kept up with Megan for a while when you first started.
Yeah.
'Cause you guys are blistering it.
Early on, I was running close to 2 minute laps.
Yeah.
And then once I was able to get back moving there towards the end, I was able to get back down to about 3 minute laps. But
Okay.
there in the middle of the night, my body just, it didn't want to go anymore.
Right. I remember seeing you on the track in the middle of the night, and then all of a sudden, where did you disappear to?
I was actually trackside sleeping on the concrete floor.
Were you really? Okay.
Yes, no
Wow.
blanket, no pillow, just I
Just
laid
out
down
on
on
the
the,
concrete floor.
yeah, I just laid down on the floor and closed my eyes, set an alarm. I was like, I won't get comfortable. This sucks. It's cold, it's hard. I was like, I won't, at least I know I won't get good sleep, but I'll close my eyes
Okay.
for a few minutes.
Okay. So how long were you out?
Twice for 20 minutes, and then it's 16 hours. I laid there for an hour,
Wow.
and I'm pretty sure I ended up sick because of it.
Oh, really? So
Yeah.
you left with a good cold, didn't you?
Yes, I
Yeah.
did. It,
Yeah.
it, I had a rough early week last week.
Oh my gosh. What fun. What fun. But you go back and do it in a heartbeat, wouldn't you?
I will end up going back at some point.
Good. Good deal.
That 6 day race intrigues me.
You should do it, man. You should jump into the insanity.
So I've told the wife for last year that eventually I'm going to.
There you go.
He doesn't,
Yeah.
she says she doesn't remember me saying that, but
I've been
eventually I
banned from
want to
going
do
back in 2025. So my beautiful wife said, look, 2025, we're actually taking a vacation. That does not involve you going to a race.
it. Sounds like what my wife just told me.
There you go, man. So, and we're going to be obedient husbands, and we're not going to do a vacation that involves a race, aren't we, Andrew?
Yes.
That's right, because we like being married.
Yes, we do.
That's right. That's right. So yeah, but it's fun. So what races are like on would like if you could get into any one of them, what race is like set in your head that you would love to run one day?
There's two,
Okay.
and one of them I am going to knock off in 2026.
Okay.
And that's the Cocodona 250.
Oh, sweet. Are you serious?
Yeah, I am going to. I turned 40 in 2026 in April,
Okay.
and I want to do the Cocodona 250 as my 40th birthday present to myself.
That is so awesome. That is so, because I remember us talking about it, when we were going around the track,
Yeah.
and we were talking about Cocodona and everything, and what a big commitment it is, and everything. And I think I had told you that I was doing 6 days for my 60th birthday, and you had
Yeah.
said something about your 40th was in 2026. So I'm so excited that you're
Yeah,
actually going to go for it for your 40th
I have
birthday.
started saving money, and I yeah, it's a one time thing. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity, and if it doesn't go to lottery by then, I'm gonna sign up as soon as the registration opens next year.
That is so awesome, man. I got my fingers crossed now, hoping you get into it, because that's it's like you say, you've got to do stuff like that. I have this motto this that says live with no regrets. I don't want to die sitting there going, well, if only I had done this, or if only I'd done that. And so I really admire people who say, you know what, hey, it's a once in a lifetime thing. I'll save whatever I got to save to do it, and we're gonna make it happen. So yeah, kudos to you, man.
I've heard how expensive it can be, so.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that, but I mean, you can mitigate some of those costs.
Right.
Go self-supported. The aid stations are phenomenal.
Drive myself out there.
Drive yourself out there. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you can mitigate a lot of those costs because you don't have to go. It's one of the Aravaipa puts on such an amazing atmosphere, and their aid stations are top of this world. And so, I mean, you could go out there, and like I told you, my friend adopted a guy who was out there unsupported. You can hang out with a supported runner and get across that finish line, man.
Well, good. That's good to know.
Good. So yeah, I'm just planting, make it happen. It's good.
Yeah.
So what's the other race?
The other one is Hard Rock.
Oh my gosh. That.
I got married in Silverton.
Oh, did you really?
Yes.
No
I
way.
convinced the wife to let us get married in Silverton, Colorado. We'd never been there. She had no idea where it was. I don't remember how I did it, but somehow I managed to convince her that that's where we needed to get married.
Did you get married the middle of July?
We got married at the beginning of June.
Okay. Because I figured,
Actually
you
about,
planned it around Hard Rock, right?
well, I wanted kind of like that, that way someday I could be there in the same vicinity time frame.
There you go. Awesome.
But yeah, it was like a month after Jim Walmsley got married there.
Okay. Oh, that is wow. Same year?
Yeah.
No way. That's cool.
Yeah, they
Wow.
got married right before they moved to France.
Yep. That is so cool. Wow.
Yeah, that
What a
was
small world.
I got to get back to Silverton.
All right. Well,
The
my favorites
wife won't
going
let me
into this
drive
year's
there
race.
again, but
That's all right. Yeah, the Hard Rock, man. That is that. Oh, what an amazing
that'll
area.
always
Yeah.
be my dream race.
There you go. Well, this year you'll have to watch for Tara Dower.
Okay.
She's my favorite on the women's side. I know Courtney's running it, but Courtney's always a favorite. But
Courtney doesn't count on the women's side. She's on the
exactly.
overall side.
I think Courtney counts on the robot, not a human being side,
Yes, I
because
agree.
there's nobody that runs like Courtney, but
Killian.
I love her.
Killian
Yeah,
does.
Killian, Courtney, and Jim Walmsley. After
Yeah.
watching Western States this last weekend and watching Jim Walmsley play with the, I forget, Ron Harvard, I think is how you
Yeah.
say his name. He played with him for like miles and miles and miles, and then just crushed his spirit.
Yeah, I didn't see any of how I didn't see how any of that played out this year.
Dude, Harvard went through Rookie Chuck. And all of a sudden, Walmsley's in the water behind him. And he was leading up to that point, and everybody's like, oh, Walmsley's struggling. And then they got the green gate, and the reports all came in. Oh, Jim Walmsley doesn't look so good. And the next thing you know, they get to Painted Rock, and Jim Walmsley's like left him in the dust.
Nice.
Yeah. And you're like, yeah, I think he was playing with him the whole time. So mind games were a play. So I think I predict the same thing for, Hard Rock this year. I think Courtney wins it overall, but top woman that's not named Courtney will be Tara Dower.
Okay.
She's from here in Virginia Beach, and
Oh,
she's a
nice.
beast, an absolute beast. Yeah, she trains running hills on our little Mount Trashmore, which is, about 3 miles from my house, and it literally is a mountain made out of a trash dump.
Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do.
That's right, man. You gotta hill climb wherever you can. So that is awesome. So Cocodona and Hard Rock. I hope you
Yeah.
get in both. So that would be
I hope
awesome.
so. I know Hard Rock's a pipe dream because I've never even run a qualifier, so.
Oh, you have to put that on your list for like 2025, 2026. Run a Hard Rock qualifier.
Eh,
So,
if there was any close.
yeah, I
I
was
thought
gonna
about
say because,
Grindstone, but
yeah, Grindstone is a tough one. It is a qualifier, but that's out here my way. So if you ever
yeah,
decide
good.
to do Grindstone, I'll crew you.
One of my good friends got third there last year.
No way. Who's that?
Joey Miller.
No way. Is he from
Yeah.
your area?
He's from Springfield. He lives in New
Okay.
Hampshire now.
Because I follow Grindstone and everything just because it's, awesome local race. But yeah, if you ever come to ever decide to do Grindstone, I'm serious, I'll crow you.
Okay. I
Yeah,
might take
I
you up
know.
on that.
I know the route, know it well. Yeah, that is cool. So Hard Rock qualifier, we need to get you that. So how do you train for your races? I mean, I know you're busy with a career, wife, family, and all that. What does your training look like?
Really depends on what my focus is. Like, I'll typical week, I like to run for an hour or so. I've got a coach who draws up all my training,
Okay.
but tip like during the week, typically I'm on the roads, and then on the weekends I might get on the trails one day for a long run, and then a road run the other day.
Okay.
I like to throw in trails as much as possible, get in vert wherever I can.
Yeah.
I'm doing in 10 days now. I've got another 100 miler to do.
Really, which one's that?
It's called Cry Me a River in
Oh.
Peoria, Illinois. It's got
Okay.
23,000 feet of climbing and 100
In
miles.
Illinois?
Yes.
No way.
Yes. It is
Holy.
a 20.5 mile out and back, and it is up and down the entire way.
You got to be kidding me. In Peoria? I'm gonna have to look at
All
Peoria
trail,
because
all single
really,
track trail.
all single track trail
Yep.
and 23,000 feet of gain.
Yep.
Holy smokes.
It's like 4,200 some feet every loop.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's in the middle of July.
It's gonna be hot.
It's hot. It's humid. I'm 0 for 2 at that race.
Oh my gosh. Wow. This Cry Me a River. I'm gonna have to look that one up because it sounds like one where I'd be crying. So,
It is brutally, brutally hard.
what's like the finisher rate in it?
The starter rate is extremely low.
Okay.
It maybe gets 10 to 15 starters a year.
Okay.
I'd say probably 7 to 10 finishers a year. Not enough to
Wow.
make Ultra sign up.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
The course record is like 21 hours.
That's the course record. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Dang, that sounds like a really hard 100 miler.
Yeah, I've never finished, so I just want to finish.
So what's your time cutoff?
That one is 36 hours. It is a
Okay.
noon Friday to midnight Saturday night.
Okay. Well, that's doable. I mean, just ice. Ice, ice, baby. That's got to be the
Well,
only way to do that.
I see though I'm not one that's ever run with a vest.
Okay.
I don't carry a bottle. I've already recruited my friend. He's gonna let me borrow his vest, so I have a vest to have liquids. I'm using my poles. I'm just going out and hiking.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that 36 hours is very doable. Just,
Right.
get into a good purposeful walk-in stage and just get her done, man. Because there's
That's
nothing
what I'm
wrong
hoping
with just
for.
getting it done. Yeah, that's awesome.
Just to knock it off would be nice.
There you go.
But prior to this year, I'd never completed 2 100s in a year, and now I've got two done, and I'm gonna try to do a third one 2 or 3 weeks later.
There
So
you go. Yeah, get that third one done. I think
we'll
you can
see how
do
it
it.
goes.
All right, I'm going to touch base with you in 2 weeks and make sure you got it done.
All right.
All right, man. That is so cool. So we'll start wrapping this up because I know you got a family to go tend to. So the name of the podcast, it's Living an Ultra Life. So what jumps into your head when you hear Living an Ultra Life?
living life to its fullest, doing as fitting as much as you can into what time you've got,
That's
being busy, being occupied.
precisely what I created this for, was, so that people can realize that we're down here to live it to the full and figure out what life is all about. And Ultras is the perfect place to do it, if you think about it.
Yeah,
Because you
the amount of stages of life you go through in a 24-hour track race, or in your
Yeah.
case, a 6-day track race.
Hey, you're gonna be
It's
there soon, don't worry.
I know. Just
Yeah.
it's you go through everything.
Yeah, people don't realize that. I tell people all the time that if you want to get a good glimpse of what life is going to be like, go run an ultra race. Make sure it's at least 24 hours so that you can get everything fit in, because every aspect of life, literally, you will go through in that 24 hours. And you did at the dome, didn't you?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The highs from the first 50 miles to the lows of the next 30 miles to sleeping on the side of the track and then getting up and
Crazy.
rallying and getting to 100 and
And breaking your previous record there. So,
Yep.
hey, I mean, you made it happen, dude. And I was so proud of you for, getting up when it looked like you were down for the count at one point. You got up and you just started moving purposefully around the track. That was one of the things that really just kind of, drew me to you, was, this guy is not a quitter. He's not going to give up on himself. And that's what I just really admired about watching you at the dome, man. It was a blast.
I appreciate it. That's it's the hopefully a new version. I've always been one that I once that I got pressure, I wilted. So ever since last year at the Dome when the wife made me finish, I wanted to go home, and she had told me beforehand that if I wanted to quit and go home, we'd quit and go home. And I sat down and said, I'm ready to quit and go home. And she said, no, we didn't come here to quit. You can get back out there and walk.
Good for her.
And ever since I've finished everything I've started, that I've done more this year than I've ever done. So,
That is awesome. You know what's going to be awesome, Andrew? You're going to watch this play out in everyday life too.
I hope so.
You will. You will. I guarantee you that once you get it into your head that there's no quitting you, you're going to see amazing things start to happen in your personal life too.
I hope so.
Well, Andrew, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast, and
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been great
it's gonna
talking
be
to you.
fun. It definitely, and we're definitely gonna stay in touch, because, like I said, I really admire your perseverance and just see so much in you, and I want to see you do Cocodona and Hard Rock, and I definitely want to see you finish Cry Me a River. So
Well,
I
thank
want to
you.
hear all about it. All right,
All righty.
Andrew, you have a wonderful evening. Tell your wife I said hi.
You too. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Take care. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultralife.